And we are back, Bobcat Radio, Monday edition. Ryan Marcus alongside Jonathan Rodriguez, our faithful producer Jason Harris up here with us in the studio today. And before we get back into baseball, do you have an update on the poll for us, Jason?
I can bring up that update. We've gotten like 10 votes in the last few minutes here. Let me refresh the old computer.
We appreciate the interaction, guys. Again, you can vote at KTSW Sports, or you can tweet us if you just want to talk to us using the hashtag Bobcat Radio. I get lonely sometimes, so I really appreciate it.
Still leading the way right now, baseball versus those UT Longhorns. Again, at 57%, softball 14%, and hey, still some love for basketball, 29% going to the SBC tournament for basketball. So baseball leading the way right now, but still not giving up on that basketball season.
And I guess the fans are feeding off my positivity, or maybe it's me who's feeding off of them. Not too sure, but guys, don't sleep on that softball game coming up on Wednesday. That's going to be a battle right there. And then I know the baseball game's tomorrow. It's easy to think about. It comes first. And we're about to talk about that game here in a little bit, but I'm still talking about the baseball team and just our team themselves. We talked about pitching, but the offense, they really haven't come alive yet. We talked to, you know, I just briefly mentioned that to you, Jason, when we were downstairs getting ready for the show. And I'm really interested to see what it looks like when they do come alive. But they left 8 runners on base every single game throughout the weekend. Doesn't matter how many hits they got. And when you leave 8 on base, you just got to think that there's so many more runs that could be scored. But the offense is just not doing a good job of bringing them home.
And I think some of that can attribute to the fact they're neutralizing the power that this Texas State offense has, because if you look at Granger Studdard's numbers, he already has 9 base on balls for the season. And Tanner Hill, you know, he's coming, he's 250 average, which, you will leave it at that. 250 average, 5 RBIs. So I guess the scouting report is that they're utilizing what they have and that they're realizing, hey, let's neutralize the power of this Bobcat offense and let the freshmen go to work. You know, you look at Nick Perez, who's coming along, and Jonathan Ortega, they're doing pretty well. And then Luke Shirley, I'll get into more in depth about him too, but he's come along strongly. But Jason, what do you have to think about it?
I was actually going to bring up Luke Shirley. This was a gentleman who struggled at the plate last season. We know what he could do defensively. He was a whiz at shortstop, making those backhanded throws, backhanded grabs, firing across the first base. It was a pleasure to watch him play defense. But when he got to the plate, he struggled. I mean, and that's just, I'm not going to take negativity from Ryan. Like, I feel like the negativity is like being put on me now, but I'm not going to go there. Y'all, Luke Shirley's hitting 400 right now. And I know it's only been 8 games and it's only been 30 at bats, but 12 hits, 8 runs, even has a home, got his first home run of the season, 6 RBIs. This is, again, it's way too early to say he's turned the corner, but this is fantastic to see out of a guy who struggled so mightily last season, to turn that around. If you want to, you know, I'm a huge softball fan, so I'm gonna, if you bring it over to Bianca Prado and what she did, you know, her struggles last season as well, and now she has flipped it around and been hitting pretty good this season. So I'm with you. What Luke Shirley is doing right now is fantastic. You know, we know guys like Granger Studdard will hit. We know Tanner Hill is gonna hit the ball. What we didn't know is if Luke Shirley could see it, make improvement, and we're seeing it.
We did see the offense come alive in one game against A&M Corpus Christi this weekend. 11 runs on 13 hits, and that's just a staggering amount. And when I saw this, it made me giggle a little bit inside. And this guy's just a freshman, and he has, you know, some intestinal fortitude. I'm going to not use any other words. But Jonathan Ortega stealing home against A&M Corpus Christi and come away with the steal on home, getting a run. And he's leading the team with 7 RBIs right now. I'm just waiting for him to really get into comfortable playing college baseball, and he's going to be fun to watch.
I'm excited for that. I think I am with you. He has got the chance to be something extremely, extremely special. To come in, and again, I'll make the softball reference as well. You know, when you talk about the freshman like an Ariel Ortiz that came in last season, again, let's remember, I know they played at an extremely high level in high school, and they probably played club baseball, and they played for select teams as well, so they're used to the pressure being on. This is D1 baseball, though. I mean, this is the top, this is the best of the best when it comes to it. A school is basically giving you a scholarship saying, come play for us. And to come in and be this hot and do the things he's doing, not necessarily putting the team on his back, but scoring runs, playing good defense, you know, making ridiculous plays like stealing home, that's the mark of a truly special player when they're able to come in right away and do that kind of thing. And I truly think Texas State has found a gem in Jonathan Ortega.
Without a doubt. And my biggest thing is that with baseball, we know that offense comes and goes. And it's still early in the season. You know, offense is these guys can hit. And the offense is going to come and go. Not every night you're not going to be able to go up to the plate and, you know, smack out, ding out three hits, you know, a homer, and then get on base. You know, you're going to have your struggles. And as you keep saying, gentlemen, it's early in the season. And these guys, you know, you've seen Cody Lovejoy simmer down, but you've seen Luke Shirley and you've seen Jonathan Ortega. You know, they've come up as well. They've seen the ball lately. So, to pretty much answer your question that you brought up at the beginning of the segment, Ryan, I'm not worried about this offense at all because, as you stated, they're an 11-0 showing against teams such as Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, and to be in contest with UCF and Michigan State. It's going to happen. It's still early in the season, and these guys need to establish the rhythm and, I guess, kind of get the rust off, if you will.
And you talk about the games against Michigan State and UCF. One was a one-run loss against Michigan State. The other, a one-game run against UCF. And I think that shows a lot about this team. They can play in close games. We saw that against Washington State as well, and they had two close games in their four-game series. So there's a lot to look forward to coming through this baseball season. One of the questions that I do have for you guys, though, is what is the best unit on this team, the offense, the pitching, or the defense? Because right now they're kind of playing well in all areas.
Oh, you're going to make me choose.
Yep.
I'm going to go offense right now. I'm going to go offense. Again, you know, they've struggled to put up some runs here and there, and again, that's where the defense kicked in, so I guess I could say defense if I wanted to. But I'm going to go offense right now because, again, Luke Shirley, Jonathan Ortega, Granger Studdard, who's hitting well above 300 right now. We haven't even brought up Derek Scheibel and Cody Lovejoy, who are doing fantastic, switching off in the outfield as well. Nick Perez is hitting over 250. That's good as well. We've seen Teddy Hoffman get some good at bats. The production is coming from different places at different times with, of course, your couple of mainstays that are in there as well. But, my vote would go, nope, not gonna change it. Sticking with offense.
I'm going defense because as I look across the board, I see 12 gentlemen that have made appearance on the field. Only 5 errors between those guys with the amount of games they've played so far. And, you know, errors will kill any team in a game. And they've kept most of these games, as you said, Mark, right, like we keep bringing back the scores. But look at them. To stay in contention with teams of that prowess and to only have 5 errors across the board right now to begin the season, that shows me that this team is focused when they're out on the field and they're waiting for the batter to go ahead and put the ball in play. And the pitchers just need to serve it up to them so that way their defense can make a play. And last weekend, we saw a spectacular catch from Cody Lovejoy out in the outfield. And then you're also seeing at third base, the hot corner doing well. And I'm going with defense. That's what I'm sticking with.
You know, I'm very torn right now between defense and pitching. And I might have to go with the pitching. The Bobcats have 3 guys posting a 0 ERA, and one of those guys is a starter, which is absolutely staggering. I already talked about Jeremy Hollenquist. But you look at the rest of the team, like we said, Wes Engel doing pretty well. Lucas Humpel had a tough game, but even though he's given up 15 hits, only given up 5 earned runs on the season, and it just looks like from top to bottom, this pitching staff has a lot more depth than what we thought they would at the beginning of the season. And one of the guys we really haven't even talked about yet is Jonathan Hennigan, and he had a very good game against A&M Corpus Christi in 6 innings pitched, gave up 4 hits, and didn't allow a run to come in. 9 strikeouts, just 2 walks. So the Bobcats pitching, they're really what's keeping them all together. They're the glue, you know, the offense playing well, having some guys definitely stepping up. The defense doing well, getting their pitchers out of jams when those do arrive. But that pitching is the glue right now that just brings it all together for this team.
And I think you could argue it was the biggest question mark coming in to this season for the Bobcats as well. What the pitching was going to do for this team? Was it going to be Lucas Humpel? Who was going to be the 2? Who's going to be the 3? Who's going to be our mid relief? Who's going to be our setup guy? Who's going to be our closer? All sorts of questions on this pitching staff. And slowly but surely, I think they're definitely getting answered here. But, all right, guys, I noticed when we asked that question a little bit earlier, you know, I said offense, Jonathan said defense, Ryan said pitching. Let's find out what the fans think out there. How about Again, new poll up at KTSW Sports. How do you view this Texas State baseball team? If you're fans, if you've been out there, if you saw the Washington State, if you went down to Corpus by chance to watch that team there, how do you view this team? Are they a high-powered offense right now? Are they a shutdown defense? Is it stud pitching? Or is it just basically a well-rounded team right now? So the new poll up, again, at KTSW Sports. How do you view the Texas State baseball team?
Yeah, get out there and vote, fans. I'm the primary candidate right now for defense, and I want to see who else can back me up on this because it's two against one right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Well,
Rodriguez 2016, ladies and gentlemen.
So, real quick, game coming up against Texas tomorrow. UT coming off a big, big loss to Stanford, 11-1. How do you think the Bobcats will fare when they welcome that team up north into San Marcos tomorrow?
So, there has been what I think is a curse on the Bobcats. Every single season, the Bobcats play UT. It's a great game for about four innings, five innings, six innings, and then something goes wrong, whether it's an error or a pitching mistake, the Bobcats fall behind and they end up losing to UT. Every single year. And I can't stand it no more. And 2016 is the year they're going to break this. So when UT comes on down, I'm sure they'll be facing Humple. I think this team's going to be hitting on all cylinders, and I think this is the year Texas State finally says, UT, no more, baby. We're going to come out on top of this one.
This is what I have to say. You look at UT's schedule, right now they've only faced two teams in four in different series. They played UNLV, they played Stanford. That being said, that could help you, but the good thing is that Texas State has seen a wide array of opponents already this early in the season. Texas has only seen two. Now, for some reason, I think that is going to work against UT. And when they come down and play Texas State and they see these freshmen and they see the pitching and the bullpen and the defense that we have, it's going to rustle some feathers. And as Jason said, I think this is the year that the curse is broken and we're going to start hearing the glaciers crack out in the field.
So, Jonathan, you're going to like this. I think we're going to see Humple tomorrow, like Jason said, and he's going to have a good game. But when those situation arises, I think it's going to fall on the defense to get him out of there. This defense, definitely a talented unit so far, really doing a good job of getting their pitchers out of sticky situations, so to speak. And I think the Bobcats, they have enough that offense. I think the team's going to be fired up to be at home, or going to be fired up, excuse me, to be at home after being on the road for the past four games, excuse me, and they have enough to beat UT. They just got to play like it. And I definitely think this Bobcat team, really, if they play well in all areas, and I know it's cliche, they're going to come away with the victory finally against the Longhorns. But that'll do it for baseball.
Positivity, Ryan.
I know.
I'm digging the new you. I don't know. And it's not the new year. I mean, the new year's already passed. We're like 3 months in now. But I'm digging the new positive Ryan Marcus.
Well, thank you so much. But this show, not a dictatorship. I know I might be guiding the boat sometimes, so to speak. But I'll leave it up to you guys. Where do you want to head to next? We got softball. We got women's basketball. And both got some good things going on. What's on your guys' mind? What's your burning desire right now?
I think you know my vote.
Well, if that's the case, I mean, Jason's our super producer. He hasn't let us astray so far on the ship, so I guess we're going to have to go with Mr. Super Producer himself.
I want to talk softball.
All right.
Softball.
I had a good feeling that Jason would want to talk softball, and there's definitely a little bit more to talk about with the softball team than there is the women's basketball team. And it's not all good things this weekend. Came away with a tough weekend going to Grand Canyon in Phoenix, Arizona for the Grand Canyon Invitational. And came away 2-3, their first losing weekend so far this season. What's going on with your softball team, Jason?
Got roughed up. I mean, there's no other way around it. It's easy to look at a 10-0 loss and view it from either side of the coin. I mean, you look at your pitching that came in and gave up, five earned runs in an inning, and then your relief pitcher comes in and gives up another five runs unearned, I should say there, but you could turn the same coin around and see the big goose egg on the other end of it there, that your offense wasn't doing anything either. And it's not like this team didn't perform well over the weekend. I mean, they destroyed Montana 8-0 in five innings, and they went 2-0 right after that as well. They had some close games in there with Northern Illinois where they lost 6-8. Who knows? Maybe it was just the Phoenix air, whatever it was. But This team got off to an incredibly hot start. They're not the type of team, especially coached by Coach Woodard, Coach Osterman, Coach Creshman as well, that would take their foot off the gas pedal. I think they just ran into a couple of good teams like Northern Illinois, like Grand Canyon, and just got whooped. I mean, there's just no other way around it. You had a bad week in the softball. It's going to happen. Not going to be the first of the season, probably not going to be the last of the season, but we know how talented this team is. They'll easily be able to turn this around. This is not, you know, a foreshadowing of what's to come.
So one of the things we talked about last weekend, and you actually really do got to take it into consideration, 10 a.m. starts for this Texas State team, plus the time difference making them 9 a.m. starts every day. And I don't know about you guys. I know I have to be up early from time to time. I don't really like it. Not functioning the best when I have to be somewhere at 9 to perform, especially at a high level of college softball like is expected of this Texas State team. So that definitely adds a factor to some of their struggles this weekend. But I think you mentioned it. The offense really just did not perform like we're used to seeing this weekend in spurts.
And you have to look at it. I can see what you're saying, Ryan, because you have to wake up early, attend a 10 o'clock game, then shortly turn around and have a doubleheader, whether it be 12 o'clock or 3 o'clock. And I don't care who you are, that's going to put some fatigue on you mentally and physically. And it kind of shows, and you know, Jason, I'm not going to harp on your girls at all, but it kind of shows with the defense, especially you look at the Karina Lascano in the hot corner. She has 5 errors on the season. You also look at Kelly Baker with her 3 errors on the season. So the fatigue factor is going to be there throughout the entire season. It's just, but I'm not worried because as the season goes on, that conditioning, that fatigue factor is going to be neutralized because you've been playing so much softball. And that those girls are excellent players. They're quite the athletes controlling their respective positions. So I'm not worried at all. That'll pick up as the time goes on. It's just, as you said, Ryan, it's coming down to just the beginning of the season and just playing so much in such a little span of time.
Yeah, and the errors are a little weird for me, and I'm glad you brought those up. Again, Karina Lascano, she's a first-year Bobcat, but it's not like it's her first time playing. Like, she was playing third over at Howard College. So, you know, whether it's just a transitioning to a different field, whether it's, you know, feel, you know, whatever it is. Kelly Baker as well. Kelly Baker, she's been playing, you know, second base for as long as I can remember. One of the few seniors this team does have. So, maybe it's early game jitters. Maybe it's just, you know, having to adjust on the fly to different fields, wherever it is. It is uncharacteristic of this Bobcat team, and you got to think Coach Woodard, that'll be one of the main things she focuses on moving forward.
But Karina Lascano still on an offensive tear so far this season. And on the weekend, only one error, so she's cutting them down. Definitely what you'd like to see if you're, you know, Coach Connor, or excuse me, Coach Osterman, Coach Woodard. I'm thinking soccer, don't know why. But the offense had some struggles here and there. But also, you got to look at Kimberly Nivar. She had a very good weekend. 2 home runs this weekend. She had only had 2 last year as a whole, already 3 on the season. So there's definitely some things going right for this offense. The pitching, on the other hand, had some struggles too. You know what? Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the pitching, and then we'll move on to women's basketball. You're listening to KTSW right here, or Bobcat Radio right here on KTSW 89.9.